37-yard.
Now, here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course, you. You can get in on the show, 201-939-4513, with you for the next 3 hours. As I'm sure a lot of Giants fans out there, I know that they had an opportunity the past 2 days to kind of vent. Would imagine a number of Giants fans very disappointed that the Giants start off the season 0-3. So we're here to continue to field your calls, but more importantly, let's look forward to the Kansas City game. It's a big game for the Giants, obviously, not only because they don't want to start the season 0-4, but Kansas City is a team that's 3-0. Somebody had asked me the other day, I was doing an interview, and the question was posed, what's more surprising to you, the Dolphins at 3-0 or the Kansas City Chiefs at 3-0? And I said, believe it or not, the Kansas City Chiefs, prior to the season, I had said that I really truly believe that the Miami Dolphins are going to win that division over the Patriots.
I can testify to that. You did say that.
Yeah, I felt Ryan Tannehill was going to take another a step up his sophomore year here in the NFL, and I loved the moves that the Miami Dolphins had made in the offseason to come in, not only on the offensive side of the ball, they bring in Mike Wallace, but on the defensive side of the ball as well. So not such a big surprise to me that the Dolphins are 3-0, but more importantly, Kansas City 3-0. Andy Reid brings that West Coast offense to Kansas City. He joins forces with Alex Smith, who, as we all know, is not a quarterback that's going to woo you, but he is a smart quarterback, a very cerebral quarterback, not a strong arm, but very athletic. I think that's somewhat deceiving with most folks who don't really realize just how athletic. If you're a college football fan, think back to where Alex Smith played with Urban Meyer at Utah, and his nickname was White Chocolate while he was there, by the way. So a very mobile quarterback. Kansas City, one of the best defenses already, first 3 weeks in the NFL, and you've been there. Arrowhead is probably arguably one of the most difficult venues to play at besides Seattle. So this is a very, very difficult challenge for the New York Football Giants heading into Week 4, Paul.
It really is, and when you mentioned Alex Smith, the first thing that came to my mind is that he's yet to throw an interception this year in 105 attempts. He is extremely careful with the football, and that's something that he learned in San Francisco. And Andy Reid has just enhanced that particular idea with him in Kansas City. Don't blow the game. Okay, we know we've got a good defense. In fact, Bob Sutton, the former Jets defensive coordinator, and he was a head coach at Army for a number of years, is the Chiefs defensive coordinator. He primarily runs a 3-4, primarily. Multiple fronts, but primarily a 3-4. And they got a couple of Pro Bowl linebackers. They got a couple of really good pass rushers. And they know what they're doing. They're relying on the defense to get things done. And so far, 3-0. And this is going to be a whale of a task for the Giants to go in there and upset them.
As we said, our phone lines are open. We know we've got a full board, 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media here at Giants.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. We monitor Twitter throughout the entire show. We will share your questions and comments on the show. Before we get to the calls, some NFL news. Big news today. Adam Schefter from ESPN is reporting that the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to bench quarterback Josh Freeman for their rookie Mike Glennon, who played at NC State. So interesting to see. I think the writing was on the wall here, Paul, the fact that Josh Freeman did not show up in time for the team photo. He lost his captain badge. Listen, your quarterback is your field general, but also he needs to be a leader of men on and off the field, and it's obvious that Josh Freeman's not fitting that bill. So Mike Glennon is going to get the start Week 4 for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Well, there was a disconnect there. I think it's obvious, Anita. You hit that right on the head. And then, of course, the Buccaneers not getting off to a stellar start. Just enhanced Schiano's aggravation and his loss of patience with the quarterback, and now he's done what he's done. I'm still not convinced that Schiano's an NFL head coach. I still think he's better off in college, but, you know, there are other people who disagree.
Well, a lot of times you and I were talking about this before we started the show. There's a style of coaching where, for example, I look at Schiano and I look at his coaching style very similar to Nick Saban, which is, very demanding on their players. And that type of coaching style is difficult to transcend in the NFL, you're talking about players, Paul, that are making 10 times the amount of money you're making as a coach. It's really hard to sit there and be as stern as Saban and Shiano are with their players in the NFL than they are in college. So I'm with you. I think it takes a very special, unique individual to be a head coach in the NFL because you're dealing with so many prima donnas and you're dealing with so many egos and it's just a lot. It's probably one of the most difficult jobs out there.
And politics that involve draft choices.
Absolutely.
And free agents that you don't necessarily have control over.
Absolutely. Also, there are reports out there that the New York Football Giants have come to an agreement with fullback John Connor. So we will stay on top of this. Again, the Giants are not reporting that, but there are reports out there. ESPN, Adam Schefter, again. Adam is just all over stuff. This is what he is reporting. So if this news breaks today, of course, you can find out more information on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Atlanta. We kick it off with D.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Okay.
I just wanted one quick question in, and I'm getting off. But I got a question. Is there a possibility of us making a trade for maybe, let's say, a linebacker or any key positions that we need help in, or Giants don't do trades?
Well, it's very hard for anyone in the NFL to make a trade. Now, Richardson just got dealt the other day from the Browns to the Colts.
Yeah, and that won't happen till, 2015?
Yeah. And it just seems to me that because of all the salary cap constraints and because coaches like to deal with the guys they have on their roster, there's just not a tendency to do much of that. And the Giants, quite frankly, if the John Connor reports are accurate and that deal is actually completed, that really puts them up tight against the salary cap. They are probably about 5 cents under it if this deal is accurate. That's how bad the Giants' cap situation is. So they're not in much of a position to be making any deals for any veteran backers off of anybody's team because, obviously, the contract would have to come with that guy, and I guarantee you that would smash the cap. No, it's not going to happen, okay? Deal with what you've got and hope it gets better or hope they can coach him up because nobody's coming in from the outside.
All right, well, let's talk about the offensive line here for a second because obviously this is one of the biggest areas of concern. Yesterday we heard that Snee and Boss went in for MRI. I'm sure we'll get the latest from head coach Tom Coughlin as he addresses the media at 11 a.m. today, Eastern Time. You can tune into that, by the way, right here on Giants.com as well as on MSG. Pugh, a rookie, struggling at times. David Deal, how soon is he going to get back? How's this offensive line going to look, Paul, against Kansas City on Sunday?
It's my impression, Anita, that they're going to move Kevin Booth from left guard to center because I believe that Snee, while his hip is hurting, is in better shape than David Boss and his neck problems. So I think Booth is going to be the center. I think that David Deal, they're going to try to get him out there to play left guard. They're going to see what they can do about his hand. You'll remember he had that hand and thumb surgery right before the end of the preseason. They said he'd be out approximately 6 weeks. Well, they may have to rush that back a little bit. I know he's been out there at practice. He's been watching film. He's been doing all his cardio. He's been doing everything he can do short of getting out to practice. Now, if they can fit him with an apparatus, we'll see if he's able to get out there today. I think it's a very important morning for David Deal because if he can get out there and take some snaps and be somewhat effective, I do think that's the move that they're going to make. It's probably their best option. Their only other options are throw James Brewer out there, throw Jim Cordell into this mix at center, which I don't think they really want to do. Brandon Mosley's got himself a sore back, and even he's as green as a piece of celery, so he's not ready. I don't see any other moves available to this team other than the Booth to center, David Deal to left guard deal. And quite frankly, Anita, that may help that much. And folks, if you could see my fingers right now, they're about a half an inch apart. Because the bottom line is the guys who are on that line have to play better. It's really that simple. It's going to have to be done internally here. There's no magic pill that the Giants can swallow and suddenly turn themselves into Superman. It's not going to happen. Okay? They need to get this done with some hard work.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Dominic calling in from Pennsylvania. Dominic, welcome. You're on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Yeah, hi. How are you guys doing? Really quick, I just wanted to find out,
you guys are there. So do you see any progress on the offensive line in a general sense?
Well, Tom Coughlin said before the Carolina game that he thought the offensive line was improving ever so slightly, but that, hey, the time is now. It's not quick enough. Well, guess what? They took a step about 3 miles in the wrong direction in Carolina. I mean, come on. 7 sacks, 6 in the first half. It was dreadful. Now, they got to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and they got to go at it now, not only against a very difficult Kansas City defense and a very hard front to defend, but as Anita said earlier, that is a very raucous crowd in Kansas City, second to only Seattle in this league. They will make your life miserable if your offense is struggling, especially if your offensive line is struggling. This could not be the worst place for the Giants to have to go and play Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, Anita.
No, that's all right. You have another question before you go?
Yeah, it just seems to me that overall, the level of hunger and thirst, that killer instinct, the eye of the tiger, whatever you want to call it, was lacking very much with the entire team as a cohesive unit last week. So my question is, let me make the statement. It seems that the battle has to be won mentally first. There's a thing that I used to remember about Mike Tyson engaging in the ring right before the fight. He would look at his opponents, and my personal belief is that he would win the fight based on the look in his eye, his hunger. He could taste the victory.
Intimidation.
Before he even got in the ring. So I think the mental factor is the X factor in how well the Giants pull together and then move as a cohesive unit. I'll step off the line, and you guys can engage in a response. I appreciate you taking time to take my call.
Yeah, not a problem. Let's rewind here for a second, because there's been some reports out there that some media folks saying that this team is not together, that there's some dissension in the locker room, that some of these guys don't like each other. Paul, you and I are in that locker room. I'm in there Wednesday and Thursdays. You're there Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I've never, and I've covered the NFL for quite a while. I covered the Dolphins for 10 years, the Ravens for 4. It's my fourth year with the New York Football Giants. I know what a bad locker room feels like.
So do I.
I know what a locker room feels like when guys don't like each other. I've never gotten to feel like that in this locker room. When a team loses, yes, there's frustration, there's anger. Sometimes you point fingers, but I don't get the sense that this team is not on the same page. They had a players-only meeting on Monday, right?
Yeah.
Obviously that's private. We will never know what was discussed in there. I'm not looking that this team is at odds with one another. What will it take to get them to maybe play a little bit harder, play with a little bit more physicality? I'm seeing a lack of physicality, and I don't know why that is. How do you make a team play more physical?
You know, Anita, I think a lot of this game is emotion, and it seems to me, and I hate to do this, but I think I'm going to have to go there. Bill Parcells taught me something a long time ago, and this goes back into the mid-80s. He said to me, winning breeds winning and losing breeds losing. It's one of the reasons why Bill always believed that it was important to win your preseason games. It wasn't about necessarily the fact that, okay, great, we're 3-1 and it looks nice in the standings when they put the preseason records in the paper. Bill believed it was a mentality and it was an emotional lift that you could use to help springboard your guys into the regular season. He believed that the emotions and the feel-good effects of winning preseason games would help teams bond, it would help them feel good about each other, and it would help them want to regain that taste of winning during the regular season. He really believed that very strongly. And I do think that Tom Coughlin is one of those coaches who does favor winning in the preseason a little more than others. But if you recall, The Giants looked very bad during this preseason. They were discombobulated. They didn't have much emotion. They did not play well. And it's funny that this kind of reared its ugly head. I guess it was last week when I was talking to Mark Herzlich, believe it or not. And he said to me, you know what? We don't really have that taste of winning in our mouths yet. And I said, well, your preseason was pretty poor. You guys struggled during the preseason. I didn't see anything building during the preseason. Usually you want that arrow to be going up as you enter opening day. And he said, yeah, you're right. We struggled during the preseason. We didn't really feel good about ourselves. We didn't taste winning. Quite frankly, Anita, and I'm not saying that their preseason record automatically meant that the Giants would get off to a bad start, but I hearken back to what Bill told me back in the 80s. And I just wonder if this team, do I dare say, got used to losing at the end of last season and got used to losing during the preseason this summer? And right now, they just haven't had enough feel-good moments, enough of wins that they can build off of that, either chemistry-wise or emotion-wise. You know, I do believe that winning does breed winning. I do believe that. And maybe, just maybe, the biggest elixir that this team could possibly find is just getting that first win. I mean, if they had lost 3 in a row and they were 2-5 today instead of 0-3, I think they'd be in better shape because at least they would have had some semblance of success. I think when you start off with that goose egg in the win column, it's a lot harder to pick yourself off the mat. Now, if I'm sitting here just spouting smoke and boulder dash and you think I'm out of my mind, that's okay. But I'm looking for an answer here, and that's about the only one I have.
Well, Paul, I don't think anybody really has answers. Only within that team, within those players, they have the answers.
Here's what I do know.
We don't have the answers.
40% of this team did not play on the Super Bowl team from 2 years ago. There's only 60% of those guys still here. Of the 40% that's new, you got a bunch of young guys who have come in the last 2 years who did not make the playoffs last year and still don't know what it's like to have a winning team in the NFL. Okay? Last year they were 9-7 but didn't make the playoffs. So to some people, that's not a winning team. It's not a success. So that's one. I still think there are young players on this team who have to grow up and mature and become professionals and winners. I think if you look at the list of a lot of the veterans the Giants brought in, how many rings do those guys have? And I'm not going to point fingers and say these guys are to blame, but Sean Rogers has never won a Super Bowl. Mike Patterson's never won a Super Bowl. Brandon Myers has never been to the playoffs. He played with the Raiders all those years, well, the last 3 or 4 years. Lewis Murphy played with the Raiders and the Panthers when they were miserable. Am I making any sense at all? Is this a coincidence? Maybe not.
201-939-4513. We're going to continue with our calls. We do want to hear from you. Anita Marks, Paul DiTino with you till 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time today, talking all things Big Blue. Looking forward to the Kansas City game at Arrowhead this coming Sunday. Ayub, fantastic. Calling in from New York. Welcome to the show.
Hey, that was good.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm calling out. I wanted to know, what's the game plan against Kansas City? I know we need to get the running game going. So my question is, what's going on with Darrell Scott? I know he gets, a lot of the garbage time, carries and plays. Every time, when we're down, the hurry-up offense, he's in there getting, the screen plays. Why don't they open up the game, and have him, make him more of, the front runner? You know what I'm saying? Because it seems like he's getting the brunt of the carries, the brunt of the plays.
Well, David Wilson is still the guy who needs to be carrying the ball the most here. And quite honestly, if you watch Darrell Scott snaps last weekend in Carolina, did you see how many times he got pushed back into the quarterback? It wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons, got more snaps, because they also thought he was a little bit better at handling those situations than Wilson was, and he wasn't. He did not do a good job of that at all. And that's a problem.
Well, as far as, a pass catching running back, and as far as like I feel like he's more of a better all-around running back than David Wilson is. David Wilson, of course, has that dynamic, that burst, that speed, but I feel like Darrell Scott is a better all-around running back.
I would disagree with you.
Not saying,
I would disagree with you. I think David Wilson has much more talent than Darrell Scott has, but the problem is both of these guys are still on the green side. Neither one of them has grown up into a full-fledged all-around NFL back. And I think, Anita, really, isn't that the problem with a number of these Giants players is that they're not the complete package yet? They've got too many guys who do some things well, but they don't have it all. I mean, really.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, David Wilson, for one, you know, still waiting to see him develop into a better blocker, somebody, a running back who could read defenses better. You know, another thing with David Wilson, and I know we've touched on this before, and that is, you know, does this offensive system benefit his style? I mean, he's not a guy that has a lot of wiggle that can make people miss. David Wilson is a running back that needs holes. He needs to see holes in the offensive line in order to get yards and have success. And this offensive line is not creating that for him. So,
agreed.
You know, I mean, there's just a number of reasons. I can't say it's one thing. It's more this than that. I just think that there are a number of reasons why we're seeing this Giants team struggle. Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in Richmond. Mike, welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Paul, great comment about Bill Parcells, by the way.
Always turn to words of wisdom from the great Tuna.
Yeah. Well, Paul usually disagrees with me. So I'm going to put kind of a comment out here and let you guys kind of ferment on it. If we have this many problems on this team, and Paul, you had said 40% are new players, okay, and still some of these guys that are here that are, have the rings were part of the old regime, were kind of drafted by Mara, right? Mara was the previous GM?
No, of course he was the previous GM, but remember, Jerry Reese actually took over for the 2007 season, so technically Jerry's the GM for the two Super Bowl rings. However, Ernie was awarded a ring by the Giants in 2007 because he had a great deal to do with that team being put together.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to point some fingers at Jerry Reese. Here's where I give him a pass. Linebackers, most of our GMs haven't drafted well except for the 80s. Okay. The guys that were higher draft picks that were supposed to kind of set JPP and Cruz and, you know, Nix, and Cruz was not a draft pick, and I still think Wilson's going to be good. I agree with you and you. A lot of these guys either aren't on the team or they became so injury-prone, like Bradshaw, we had to let him go. You know, Bradshaw had a great game in Indianapolis. I watched that game, and I was happy for him. But I think some of the blame needs to go to Reese and just going, you know, we needed to replace talent through the draft. Either guys that were talented got hurt, and we had to let them go because they just can't play healthy, or they're a bust. So now some of these areas, we've drafted more, I would say, I don't know if you guys agree, on the offensive side of the ball recently than defensively. And the offense is where we're struggling, I think, more because the defense at least held for a couple of quarters in the first few games and then just started getting onslaughted. But I'd like to hear your guys' comments about Jerry Reese before I get off the line. And then I think that this team owes David Wilson somewhat of an apology because John Schmelk went nuts about 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you guys heard the call, that people were kind of saying, hey, you know, if you're benching Wilson for two turnovers, why isn't Eli getting, you know, benched? And, oh, forget it, guys. He was hot. But I don't see players being sat down by Tom Coughlin for playing horrendously. And I think it's unfair that, like, you know, a guy like David Wilson is trying to learn in NFL, you're throwing him under the bus week one and last year as well for fumbling. But then our offensive line has played horrible. Our defensive line has been not existent except for Livinville Joseph. So where's the accountability for the other players? You know, and I'll let you guys comment on those things. Thanks a lot for your time.
Well, first and foremost, let me comment on Jerry Reese for a minute because ESPN, who's the gentleman who's now covering ESPN for the Giants for ESPN? They just brought
Dan Graziano.
There you go. He has an article up right now. Pretty much demanding that Jerry Reese speak to the media. Jerry Reese doesn't talk to the media during the season. It's just not what he does. Maybe during the bye week, right? We hear from him possibly at the bye week?
Occasionally you'll hear from him, but, yeah, he's usually more of an off-season speaker.
And his article pretty much is about because this team is struggling, and it's struggling because of a lot of question marks at various positions, that he feels that Jerry Reese should speak to the media. But it's just not what he does. It's not the way of the Giants organization.
How would that help?
That's a great question as well.
You know, I mean, I think the caller raised three issues. A, he wanted to know about Jerry's accountability. Well, you know what? I still think if you weigh the scales of what he's done here, it's more positive than negative. But has he had a bunch of misses? Sure he has. No question about that. But he drafted the 2007 class that won that Super Bowl. Of course, he had a lot to do with those guys, too, but that was Jerry's draft. Jerry brought in Antrell Roll, big part of the Super Bowl team. Jerry brought in, or he re-signed guys like Snee and Dave and David Deal, who then went on to win a second Super Bowl. Jerry drafted Akeem Nicks. Victor Cruz came in under Jerry's watch. You know, Jerry's had some hits. He's also had some misses. Bottom line is this. Every GM's going to have pluses and minuses. And if the team doesn't make the playoffs this year in four out of the last 5 years, management will reevaluate him just like they evaluate everybody at the end of the year. And they'll decide what they need to do. I still lean more towards the positive side of Jerry Reese. The other two comments were, A, why doesn't Tubb Coughlin make more changes in the lineup? Well, that's because, A, in some cases, he doesn't have many options or many viable options. And B, Tom also believes you have to earn your snaps on game day. And if you don't conduct yourself properly at practice and during the week and take your reps and do everything you're supposed to do, it's part of his coaching philosophy that you don't just reward guys on game day if they don't get everything right during the week. So that takes care of that question. And then I think the other comment that he made was what? He talked about lineup changes. He talked about Jerry Reese. He had a third question.
David Wilson, he fumbles. He gets absolutely destroyed by the media. He gets benched. Eli Manning has how many interceptions now? Seven?
Yeah.
And he doesn't even get reprimanded. But we don't know. We don't know what happens behind closed doors with Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning.
Remember this. Eli Manning is collateral damage right now. A lot of what has happened to him is because of the effects of the other things that have fallen apart around him. Has he played well? No. Has he been sharp? No. I grant you all of that. But much of what is going wrong with him, and he's not the same quarterback that he was the last 5 years, is because of collateral damage.
But
if David Wilson doesn't hold on to the ball, that's his fault.
But the caller,
that's not collateral.
The caller makes an accurate point in perception in that Eli Manning is held to a different standard. Yes, he is. He is the starting quarterback. He is Eli Manning. He's won, helped this organization win two Super Bowls. He was the MVP of those two Super Bowls. When Eli has an offensive line that's actually giving him more than 2 seconds to complete a pass, when Eli Manning has a solid running game with a running back out there who actually understands defensive schemes, blitz packages, and knows how to step up and help with pass pro in the backfield, Eli Manning can deliver. So with all those things entailed, yeah, Eli is held to a different standard. And there's more that needs to happen and develop in order for Eli Manning to have success than for David Wilson to hold on to a football.
It is a team game.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Sharon, calling in from Irvington. Sharon, welcome.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I agree with the other gentleman, whoever, saying that they were much too hard on David Wilson. And don't get it wrong. I love Eli Manning, but he needs to have been reprimanded to a certain extent. Just to a certain extent.
Reprimanded is really the wrong word, because reprimanded is like publicly embarrassed and punished, and that's not the case here.
No, I said to a certain extent. extent. So it doesn't have to be public, but, I mean, come on. They practically beat up David Wilson. Come on. And all these interceptions from Eli, first of all, he has no line that is protecting him. So something needs to be done about that. And the defense has been sleeping. So I think some of that blame is not just on the players. It goes back to the coaches and the coordinators, too. They need to step up also.
I think when you're 0-3, everybody, all the way down to the water boy, has to step up. Thank you for the call. Anita, I'm sorry, but I don't have a stomach for this comparing Eli Manning to David Wilson. I mean, it is so out of whack to compare a veteran, a leader, a captain, a two-time Super Bowl MVP to a second-year player who is still green, who has so much more to learn, and whose whole career is in front of him. I can't compare anything about their situations, and I'm just getting really lost by these phone calls.
Let's go to Lynn in Columbia. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hello, Lynn.
Hey, good to talk to you. First off, Paul, I want to start with a compliment. You and I had some discussions during the preseason about whether the Giants were ready to start the season or not. You argued they were not ready. I said, oh yeah, they're ready. And we don't have to go much further.
Yeah, please
don't.
I
think you were right on. The team was not ready to start the season.
I didn't know the NFL went to a 7-game preseason schedule.
There you go. It did carry over. You know, if somebody didn't see the game on Sunday and just read the New York tabloids. You know, it was pretty descriptive. You got a pretty good idea, you know, words like wretched and intolerable and things like that. If you saw the game, you would think the tabloids fell short of really describing it. That was really ugly. Oh, my gosh. Hey, a couple of questions for you guys real quick. Maybe they're yes-no answers. Maybe they're true-false. Somebody chirp in real quick. Kansas City is not going to feel sorry for us on Sunday.
That's true.
All right. Nobody in this league is 38 points better than anybody else.
I'll let Anita handle that one.
I don't understand your question.
No team is 38 points better than anybody else in this league. You don't see any 38-point point spreads. I'm not a gambler, and I hate to use point spreads as my example.
No, I mean, everybody made a big deal.
You had
the Seattle Seahawks favored by 19.5 against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
19.5, but not that much. I mean,
and they did cover, by the way.
The people who were really making money on this, you know, and I don't want to talk about gambling, but the people who are really making money on this, they got Kansas City as a 4.5-point favorite. I mean, you talk to most fans, and they'll say, you got to be kidding me, Kansas City should be a 20-point favorite over the Giants. But, I mean, the bottom line is, with parity in this league, nobody's that much better. I guess I'm making a case for the fact that that was just awful on Sunday. Oh, my gosh. All right, let me give you one more. You're really not out of it in the NFC East until you get to 7 losses. Then you're in trouble.
Well, okay. Considering, Lynn, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Considering that every other team in the NFC East lost except the Dallas Cowboys, that does bode well for the Giants right now. I mean, you look at the standings. Dallas is 2-1, Eagles 1-2, and the Redskins and the Giants 0-3. So,
I sat down last night and I looked at the standings. I looked at the schedule. I looked at all the other teams in the division, and this is what I came up with. If you want to be an optimistic Giants fan, this is what you want to happen. You want the Giants to be no more than 2 games out of first place by the time they host the Cowboys on November 24th. If they are within 2 games of first place going into that game, they still have a very realistic chance of winning this division because they will have 3 NFC East games to go, including right now, the first-place Cowboys. If they can stay within 2 games by November the 23rd, going into that Dallas game, I think they're still in it. If they're not within 2 games of first place, I think it's going to be a long December. And that's how I figured the
computations.
All right, well, let's take a look at the next three games that they have, Paul, and this is a big concern for me. As we said, Kansas City, they're 3-0. There's a reason they're 3-0. Andy Reid has this West Coast offense operating like a fine-oiled machine, and not only that, they're doing it without any help from Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe, one reception for 4 yards last Thursday against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Avery's been their best guy.
Donnie Avery has been their top guy. And the way that he's utilizing Jamaal Charles, they played a lot of pistol as well with Alex Smith. So offensively, they're moving the ball. Defensively, they have one of the best defenses right now after the first 3 weeks in the NFL. And it's at Arrowhead. So I have some really big concerns about the Giants, where they're at right now, heading to Arrowhead and beating Kansas City. Now, they're back home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia, again, they took on Kansas City. And keep in mind, Kansas City played on Thursday, so they have 9 days to prepare for the football Giants. Keep that in mind.
Do you think they really needed 9 days?
Keep that in mind. Then the Giants are hosting Philadelphia and Mike Vick and this new Chip Kelly offense. I've got some concerns there. I think I'm not saying that Philadelphia is going to win, but I think that's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. And look at Chicago. Look at how Chicago, the way that Mark Trestman, what he's done for Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, they just got done beating a Pittsburgh Steelers team in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Beat them up.
Yeah, and this is a Giants team that has to go on the road and play at Soldier Field against the Chicago Bears. I'm worried that this team's going to start off 0-6, Paul.
It's possible. It's absolutely possible. I'm not going to sit here and dispute that. It could happen. I will give you one really good stat if you're the Giants and you're going into Kansas City this Sunday, because virtually every number that you could possibly imagine favors the Chiefs. Okay? One good stat that kind of helps the Giants out. Kansas City had one touchdown on 6 trips inside the red zone last weekend. That's not cool. Winning teams will tell you all the time, can't be settling for 3. Can't be settling for 3.
But they don't turn the ball over.
They do not. But one touchdown on 6 trips inside the 20. That's about the only good stat that I can give you if you're trying to figure out a way that the Giants could beat Kansas City, is that maybe they can keep that offense off the board and keep it into a low-scoring game where anything can happen if you keep the game into the teens or into the low 20s.
201-939-4513. I don't think we're making folks feel any better today. Let's go to Sean in North Carolina. Sean, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks.
Good morning. Paul, let me make my statement real quick. I kind of think that the callers were correct in as far as saying that, you know, Eli needs to be reprimanded, because he is a captain and he is a veteran. That's even more of a reason that he needs to be reprimanded publicly. I mean, and I think that goes back to Coughlin. Now, I'll say this. Do you think, this is a rhetorical question that you can answer after I finish. Do you think Coughlin has lost his team because you cannot rule these players in today's NFL with the iron fist? These guys are no longer boys. They're no longer college boys or high school boys. These are millionaires, and as you alluded to, they're making probably 2 or 3 times more than the coach is. I hate to bring up the Cowboys, but look back at the situation with Jimmy Johnson, and Anita, you could probably allude to this. Jimmy knew what time to get out of there, because he had coached nowhere no longer than 5 years, because he knew that his style of coaching was abrasive, and it was going to only last as long as they were winning. When they start losing, you can't demean players in the public and the media and stuff like that. You can't do it if you're losing. Now, if you're winning, you know you can do that, but that style of demeaning players and being a tyrant and a dictator, you can't do it. And Coughlin may have lost his team because of that. And so people want to get on Jerry about firing him, Jimmy, but Jimmy wanted to get out of there. And so I'm wondering if Coughlin has lost his team. Again, I think that accountability needs to go across the board from Reese to Coughlin to the players to the water boy, as you mentioned, Paul, everybody.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Let me just share with you that I actually covered the Miami Dolphins when Jimmy Johnson was the head coach. And Jimmy's probably biggest downfall is the way that he treated Dan Marino when he got there. And Jimmy really lost a lot of those players and lost a lot of that team the way that he treated Dan. So it's a totally different situation. But, yes, the way that Jimmy kind of coached there and that style, especially after the way that Shula handled the players, it was very different.
I don't understand, okay? I don't understand how anybody could watch what we have watched, especially last Sunday in Carolina, and point a finger at Eli Manning when he is getting his brains beaten in. He is getting pulverized. He has no running game to speak of. He has an offensive line that every time he steps back into the pocket is ready to collapse on a moment's notice. He's got defenses who can see and smell blood every time he snaps the ball because they know what he does not have to work with. Let me just say this. For any of you out there who really think Eli should be reprimanded or is the primary reason why the Giants aren't doing so well, then you go ahead and you tell me if you would trade him right now straight up for Tony Romo. Okay? Think about that for a few minutes. Why don't you marinate in that soup for a little while? And then give me a call tomorrow when Anita and I will be here. And tell me how much you would love to have Phillip Rivers or Tony Romo or one of these other guys who puts up big numbers but doesn't have the Super Bowl rings on their hands. Why don't you do that for a change?
201-939-4513. We go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome.
Hi, folks. Hey, look, you know, I've been a Giants fan for the better part of 50 years, okay? Now, if you're a real Giants fan, you stick by your team no matter what. Good, bad, or ugly, I've seen the whole deal. I've been through it all, okay? I'm not quitting on the Giants. I got over my depression Sunday. It's over, okay? All you Giants fans that are crying, get over it, okay? Just get over it. Now, two questions for you, Paul. Number one, where's Willie Young when we need him?
Oh, thank you for that laugh. I appreciate it so much.
Number 69, Willie Young.
Yes, sir.
And number two, I haven't heard any update on Mr. Hynoski. Could you please let us know how he's doing? You guys have a good day. The Giants go out. If they beat Kansas City, if they can find a way to do it, everything is going to change in the blink of an eye. I don't know if it'll happen. I hope it does. But you got to stick by your team no matter what if you're a real Giants fan like I am. You guys have a good day.
Thanks so much for the phone call. You know, Henry Hynoski, as we were told, has a very serious shoulder injury, and it remains to be seen exactly what they're going to do with him. You would have to assume, based on the reports, that John Connor has agreed to a deal. You would have to assume that Henry Hynoski would be going to IR. But that is just a logical assumption. No announcement has been made, and so, you know, we can't do that. And, oh, the official word has, in fact, come down. Henry Hynoski has now been placed on injury reserve. We now have the official word. It has been handed to me, kind of like those voting polling tabloids or tabulations that come out on election night. Henry Hynoski is on IR, and John Connor is indeed signed. So we will see John Connor on the practice field. And Hynoski's season is over. It's that simple.
201-939-4513. Also, we're monitoring Twitter. Paul, if you want to check on Twitter, see what kind of tweets we're getting, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll share those with you throughout the show. Let's continue in New Jersey. We have Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Shakes. calm down. Come off the ledge. Come off the ledge, Jinx. You got a family, and we got next week is another possibility. And everyone that's saying Eli.
Oh, no. Andrew, please call back. Let's head out to the left coast. We have Clifford calling in from California. Clifford. Okay. Not sure what's going on with our phone lines, but we'll get them corrected.
The switchboard is broken down like the offensive line.
I do want to ask you this. I was reading some reports in regard to how much Chase Blackburn helped with the defensive scheme for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, we know that that typically does happen.
Sure.
But his post-game comments, it seemed as if he was in on... Like, he drew up the defensive game plan, pretty much.
I think that his help, in addition to Al Holcomb, who was the Giants, one of their quality control coaches for a few years, and did a very nice job here. He went with Dave Gettleman, who was the Giants' pro personnel guy, to become GM of the Panthers. And he is one of the assistant coaches now on the Panthers staff. I think between Holcomb and Blackburn, there's no question, in retrospect, they had a real good idea about what the Giants were going to do, and they certainly had an idea about the personnel and where the Giants might be most vulnerable. I would agree with that. I didn't think it would carry as much weight as it appeared, but yeah, I think they helped. Or hurt, depending upon your point of view.
Also disappointing, the New York Football Giants fell down to 29 in the power rankings. This week, unfortunately. They started at 12. Keep that in mind.
Justified, I believe.
Again, 201-939-4513. We're going to continue to take your calls. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, Shakes. Cool out, and you'll be okay. Eli, the reason why he's not reprimanded, as we say, is that the backup is Painter, so David Wilson was being benched, but the backup was, you know, there wasn't that huge difference between a 10-year vet with Super Bowl MVPs and the Pro Bowl. And I was right about the offensive linemen. The Washington Redskins, they had the Hogs back in the day, so they should have pulled up. And Tiki, I said how he would say he single-handedly saved the game. But when you watch the Washington Redskins in their heyday with the Hogs, you could plug in any good running back and they would get like 130 yards. And I just want to end with this. The first time I listened to sports radio, Rodney Hampton, Mike Francesa said Hampton was a rookie. He had this link to David Carr. He had star written all over him, which was true. And the Jets, the issue was Tony Eason or Ken O'Brien, who was going to start. And Francesa said that, well, O'Brien should start because if the offensive line isn't good enough to protect O'Brien, to protect Eason, who is the more athletic, the more fleet of foot, then they're definitely not going to be able to protect the slower O'Brien. So David Carr would be a better backup for four or five games or whatever if Eli goes down, because Painter is big and slow like Eli, where Carr is at least athletic enough to give, you know, to compete where at least there's a chance. Your thoughts on that? Thanks, guys.
My thoughts are that David Carr is a better quarterback than Curtis Painter, period. End of discussion. And I don't know there's anything else I can add to that. Honestly. And quite frankly, the Giants are in a big hole right now, whether or not Eli Manning is quarterbacking or not. They've got a lot of ground to make up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're fielding so many calls. And again, Paul Dottino, Anita Marks with you for the next 20 minutes. But we're fielding so many calls about Eli Manning and reprimanding Eli Manning. And listen, this team is already 0-3. It needs to start focusing on the Kansas City Chiefs, and it needs to start focusing on all areas that need improvement to get ready so that this team doesn't start off 0-4. And that is the offensive line. That is helping with pass protection out of the backfield. That is, we haven't even touched on the defensive side of the ball yet, Paul, today, and that is, you know, JPP's not 100%. You know, Tuck, we haven't seen vintage Tuck so far this season. The linebacking core is suspect. I mean, You know, is Corey Webster going to be healthy for Kansas City? I mean, there are a number of reasons why this Giants team is 0-3. It's not just Eli Manning and the fact that Eli Manning needs to be reprimanded. Like, let's move on from that.
Yeah, help me understand why he has become the magnet for the...
Because everybody... This is why. Because when stuff goes wrong, everybody wants an understanding. Why? Why are they losing? Why is this happening? They want to point a finger. And this isn't just... This is everybody. This isn't just Giants fans. This is like human beings in general, Paul. When something's not right, we as human beings want to know, why isn't it going right? What's the reason? And when you look at the stats and you see that Eli Manning has 7 interceptions, that's a big glaring stat that makes a lot of people say, wow,
but
Eli Manning's not performing well. Well, you've got to look at the total package and understand why he's not performing well. Quarterbacks need at least 3 seconds to get a playoff, to get a ball off. And Eli's not getting that.
Isn't it just so obvious? I mean, so obvious. They always say the quarterback gets too much credit when a team wins and too much blame when a team loses. But isn't it just so obvious to anybody that there is so much else wrong with this team?
No, obviously not, Paul.
How much dirt does he have to pick out of his face mask before people will understand that he's getting hammered back there?
And I've said this before. I mean, this is nothing new. You know, Eli and Peyton, they're just, you know, they're not the most athletic quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, you're not talking about the Cam Newtons and the Michael Vicks and the Colin Kaepernicks. There are things that need to be in place. Even Peyton Manning. You know, the big storyline going into that Monday Night Football game with Peyton and the Oakland Raiders was, he lost his starting left tackle. So, and
Clady.
Yeah, and so the even though the Oakland Raiders are absolutely horrible, there's a lot of buzz about their new starting quarterback. Their defense actually going into that game had 9 sacks on the season. They were tied for first going into week 3. So, that was one of the big storylines, is how is this offensive line going to do for Peyton Manning? There are certain quarterbacks that need that offensive line, that need those 3 seconds, that have a difficult time creating for themselves. Also, Kevin Gilbride's system has a lot of 7 and 5 step drops in it. This isn't a dink and dunk system. This isn't a 3-step release, get in the hands of a wide receiver or a mud bug in Victor Cruz. And count on yards after the catch. That's not the way that this offensive system operates.
Never has been.
No. So, an offensive... in order for Eli to have success and this offense to have success, it needs to have a solid offensive line. Let's go to Mike. Oh, Mike. Let's go. Okay.
Yes, morning.
Mike, welcome.
Well, I'm going to try and make some sense out of the people that try to explain the Giant problems. First of all, I think they're either Jet fans calling in or they're soccer fans. They don't know anything about football. You look what's going on. You could have changed jerseys between Eli Manning and Rosenberg the other night. He's got the same problems, offensive line. Rodgers from Green Bay, the premier quarterback, he's got problems, offensive line. So you're blaming, like you said, Paul, blaming Eli is insane. It's insane. I mean, you don't sit down and throw the guy under a bus when, as you indicated, that it's, you know, Parcells used to say, if you don't have the right groceries, you can't cook the dinner. We don't have the right personnel to work with what's going on. The other thing is, you said, you mentioned the defensive line. Does Justin Tuck do anything other than make Subway commercials?
You know, he had a really good game against the Dallas Cowboys. Let me make something very clear. He played extremely well opening night. And the last 2 games, he has not played very well. But he showed me opening night that he still has something in the tank. Now, how much, I don't know. Are they capable of getting out of it, getting that out of him this weekend in Kansas City? I don't know. But the game he played against the Cowboys, I'll tell you what, I would take that every week for the rest of the season. He played well against Dallas and against the run and the pass. Did you watch the game? He looked good that night. I think we lost the caller. You know, ultimately, Anita,
And I hate to keep going back to all these Parcellsisms and everything, but this is not a Parcellsism. It's football 101. If you can't win the trenches, okay, on either side of the ball, you will not win. It always starts in the trenches, the offensive line and the defensive line. That's what football comes down to. You have to win at least one of the trenches to have a chance. When you win them both, you're going to be really good. When you lose them both, you are in a whole heap of trouble. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out, folks.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Clifford, calling in from California. Clifford, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for taking the call. The Kansas City Chiefs are 3-0, but they haven't played anybody. They beat up on Jacksonville. They barely beat the Cowboys, and they Cowboys needed six turnovers from us to barely win, and he beat the Eagles, his old team. So who have they played?
Okay, my friend, let me say one thing to you, Clifford. I appreciate what you're saying, but there's no denying the fact that they've got a lot of talent on that team, specifically defensively. And if you buy into anything I said to you before about how winning breeds winning and losing breeds losing, well, let me tell you something. Everything that I've heard out of Kansas City is that these players love Andy Reid, just like the Eagles players did. They want to play for him. They're putting out maximum effort on every play. And you know what? They feel real good about themselves right now. And if you think that does not account for something going into this game, then you're making a serious mistake.
49ers was feeling real good about themselves last season. We went into San Francisco and busted them in the mouth. Alex Smith is in Kansas City because the Giants put him there. He lost his job.
Okay.
Andy Reid is in Kansas City because he couldn't win a ring like Carson did.
You make a great point, but Clifford, you know what? Those were those Giants. This is the 2013 Giants, and I'm not sure that they've got the gumption or the ammunition or the personnel or the bodies, use whatever word you like, to put up like those other teams did.
The only positive is that Brandon Flowers re-injured his knee in the Philadelphia Eagles game. He went into that game with his knee a little banged up. He played, and I want to say in the third quarter, I think, or maybe early in the fourth quarter.
He went down in the second half. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of that. I mean, that's huge. I mean, if Kansas City was to lose Brandon Flowers in this game against the Giants and Eli Manning, that would definitely, obviously, would bode well for the Giants and their passing attack.
Dunta Robinson, the former Texan and Falcon, would be the next man up for Flowers at the corner spot, and he would be a guy they would look to pick on for sure. He would be up against Victor Cruz in the standard two wide receiver set. They sometimes use Hussein Abdullah, their backup safety, as a slot corner, like the Giants used Antrell Roll last year. So perhaps that might be a matchup that Cruz could win also, if that occurs on the field too.
This is a text from Randy. You hear teams with bad O-line or D-line, but both sides of the trenches bad at the same time? #, disturbing.
Indeed.
201-939-4513. This is our last call. Let's go to Brian in Philadelphia. Brian.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi.
Good. It's crazy. That was the last caller a couple of times before, so that's great. Listen, you know, the last two callers, they're real funny. I mean, they're Giants fans. I love them. But they're real funny. You know, the last caller was saying something about you can't really sleep on any NFL team. And with the way we're playing, you know, Andy Reid knows us.
Oh,
so
for sure.
Can't really...
14 years with the Philadelphia Eagles, he knows all about the Giants.
Exactly. That's why the Dallas game was like that. If any other coach, Dallas would have probably beat him. But, well, what I really wanted to say, honestly, is like, you know what I think, honestly, you know, I love my team, and I never wanted to say this, but I think it's like that Super Bowl curse. Like, whoever has the Super Bowl in their home in their home stadium, they, for some reason, they don't play good that season.
Brian,
I don't know if it's something in the back of their mind.
I'm sorry. I got to let you go. We got to go. We have head coach Tom Coughlin, who's addressing the media at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. You can tune into that right here on Giants.com. Paul Dottino and I will be back tomorrow, same time, 9:30 a.m. right here on Giants.com.